You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
The cream of the crop!
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Neil, and I'm joined in the studio by all three hosts, Ken, Matt, and Jeff. How's it going?
How's it going?
Going good.
You mean the three hosts who aren't you?
The three hosts who aren't me, because I do not exist, therefore I am not real.
Mm-hmm. How was your trip to Machu Picchu?
It's beautiful this time of season, whichever time of season this episode is released in.
Today's going to be a fun game. We were reached out by a great listener named Chris Haith, who put together a special geek episode, geek-centric episode. And we've been working schedules back and forth, playing phone tag, but we finally got everyone here. We're excited to play it, and we'd like to introduce from Dayton, Ohio, Chris Haith. How's it going, Chris?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing really well. Thank you for writing the game, joining us, and putting in all the effort for this. But before we get to it, I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into trivia, and how you found the show.
How I got into trivia. I actually got into trivia through my wife. She is a wedding photographer. She and her sister are her sister Sarah Reed. So you guys have had her on a couple times. Mm-hmm. That's my sister-in-law. They met a guy that hosted trivia, and they were getting married, and they're like, come out and try it sometime. So I said, okay. And that was about 6-7 years ago, and we tried it, loved it, and been doing it ever since. I graduated to being a host for a couple years in Louisville, Kentucky, where I used to live. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, it's just always been love trivia.
Yeah, you could thank peer pressure.
Not very good at it, but I love playing.
Yeah, and just to plug their company, it's Jessica and Sarah Weddings.
Yes, that's correct. .com or jessicaandsarahphotography.com.
Great. Yeah, we'll put that that link in the show notes to make sure that they're available for all your wedding photography needs.
Just a quick thank you for joining me for dinner here in the city of Chicago a couple months ago.
Dude, that was really good. I can't remember the name of the place.
We had some Moroccan food, which I've never had before. It was tasty.
Well, before we throw to you to explain what kind of game you put together today, let's throw it to the rules guy.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into two rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And it should be noted that the rules guy recorded that one in a wizard robe.
Oh, you can really hear the magical nature of that one.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And today, so me and Neil will be playing on a team. Is that correct?
Yeah, let's do it.
And then you guys were desperate to play on a team together.
Yeah, so me and Jeff grew up, doing our nerd activities together. So since our current jam is Magic the Gathering, we're going to be the plural of Black Lotus, the Black Loti. I think that's pretty incorrect, but
don't know what that means, but it sounds pretty cool.
Yep. A lot of my younger nerd self was devoted to wrestling, so we are going with the Iron Geek.
Very nice.
Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're excited. Feel free to take it away, Chris.
Okay. Like I said, it's like standard questions. I have them all over the place. Comic book, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. Mm.
All of Neil's favorites. Let's do this.
I believe it. So yeah, so it's you know, it's one of those things. If you know, if you don't like if you don't like any of the stuff that I mentioned, if you're not in the Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, or Aliens or comic books or anything like that, then you know, there's no reason for anybody to listen on, first of all, and second of all, in my opinion, they should re-examine their life. But that's okay, that's just me.
You're the man, stop listening. Then listen to the next episode.
I would advocate for the opposite. Stick around, maybe we'll make a couple jokes and you'll learn something. So
there you go.
Hopefully we're funny.
Fingers crossed. All right, Chris.
Two of us are.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready?
Let's do it.
All right, question one. Excelsior. Stan Lee, rest in peace, was the face and voice for Marvel Comics and will always be loved by generations of kids and adults. What many people don't realize is that Stan Lee was actually a pen name. For 10 points, what was his real name? For 5 bonus Excelsiors, what does the word Excelsior mean?
That's not good for us, is it?
No,
it's not
good. I remember reading what his real name was. I just didn't store it away. Okay, we're locked in.
Yeah. All right, quick lock in from these guys. So as for Excelsior, I actually read, after he passed, I read what it meant. It was something like ever upward or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds about
ever
right.
Ever upward or upward and onward, something like that.
Something like that, yeah. I think you're right on that. And then, yeah, I didn't, I guess I didn't even realize he had a last name that wasn't Lee because I've never really looked into it, so.
Let's say Stanley Lebowski.
It's Stanley Spider-Man.
And ever onward and upward.
Yep.
So we didn't really know. So we locked in for the name Leibowitz as the last name. And with the Lee there, that's my logic.
Right.
And then for Excelsior, we just put forever forward.
You guys are very close. His name was actually Stanley Lieber. And you are correct in that the name Excelsior means higher or ever upward.
Or what was the bonus? Five?
Five.
So you got 5 points then, yeah.
All right, question two. Potatoes. In The Lord of the Rings, there's a popular line, often memed, that Samwise says to Gollum when Gollum says he doesn't know what taters is. Fill in the blanks to Sam's response. Potatoes. Blank'em, 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 and a blank.
We're good, right?
Do you have any idea on this?
Oh God, no. I saw the movie in the theater, and then I saw the movie never again.
The first one.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater too. I never saw it again because I didn't want to. Okay, so it's potatoes, blank'em, 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 and blank.
Blank'em in a blank.
Oh, blank'em. Okay, so probably cook 'em in a pan, maybe. Maybe it's rhyming. What's his name? Tolkien liked to rhyme stuff.
Maybe shake 'em and bake 'em.
Shake 'em, bake 'em. how about let's see. Potatoes.
No, I'm sure on the rest of
grow
it.
Them? Grow them?
For clarification, I'm not sure if this is actually in the book. This is in the movie specifically, though.
Okay. Okay.
Well, good, because I was looking to the book, which I have also not read. We're not going to get this.
We're not going to get them. So we're just going to say, we're going to lock in with grow them, eat them, or grow them, cook them, eat them in a pan.
Yeah.
All right. Potatoes, boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
Wow, that makes a lot more sense.
That is correct. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
Well, we are going to get trounced.
Mr. Frodo.
Number three, hometown heroes. For this question, I'm going to give you in alphabetical order the names of 5 of DC's most popular superheroes and the names of the 5 cities that they reside in, also in alphabetical order. Now, you guys can do this how you want, like 10 points for all or 2 points each. Match them up. It's up to you.
Let's do 2 points for each.
Okay. All right, the heroes are as follows in alphabetical order. Batman, Flash, Green Arrow, Nightwing, Superman. And the cities are Bloodhaven, Central City, Gotham, Metropolis, Star City.
We're locked in.
Okay, cool. I also watched the
sucks.
Those CW DC shows, which is how I know these.
Me too.
Okay, yeah. Right. So here is my thinking. Yep. Gotham is obviously Batman. Metropolis, obviously Superman. I would say whatever that blood one was, I think that's Nightwing because Nightwing's like a darker sort of character.
Makes sense.
I remember Neil going on some kind of insane rant about wanting a Star Industries sweater that was supposed to be from The Flash. So I would go Star City for Flash, and then that would leave Central for Green Arrow.
I'm good with that.
Sound good.
Yeah, so Matt and I like the CW shows. We're in agreement on most of those. Batman, Gotham, Superman, Metropolis, Bloodhaven, Nightwing. But what you're mistaken there is the Flash, Barry Allen, works at Star Labs, which is in Star City, where Green Arrow is the hero. And he lives in Central City because he works for the Central City PD.
Well, how am I supposed to know that? Good God.
And yes, you're correct. Batman is, of course, Gotham. Flash is Central City. Green Arrow is Star City. But I believe in the show they call it Starling City.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Ken, you have failed this city.
Nightwing is a Bloodhaven. And the way it's basically described, is from what I could tell, is that Bloodhaven is kind of like Brooklyn would be to New York City, which would be Gotham, the inspiration. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the way they described it, or maybe Newark, who knows.
So more hipsters there for Nightwing to fight.
Yeah, a lot of coffee shops.
Yeah, a lot of coffee, nice coffee shops, yeah.
and then, of course, Superman is Metropolis. Yeah. So, all right, question four. The Art of the Heart Explosions. What Swiss artist, whose unique style was described as biomechanical, was the lead designer and is attributed with the design of the Xenomorph, a.k.a. the Alien, of the Alien movie franchise?
Yeah, we're going to lock in on that one.
I got nothing.
Yeah, I don't either.
We're going to say Santa Claus.
Ridley Scott.
It's funny, you're not too far off with Santa Claus. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to go with Geiger.
Mm.
That is correct. H.R. Geiger.
Now, if you just told me it was a way to measure radiation, I would have been all over that.
Yeah.
His designs are just unreal. Like, there's not really anyone who's matched him yet, especially with that creature specifically. The alien creature is just unbelievable. The Xenomorph.
It is. It really is. All right. excuse me. Question number five. Vader, you're killing me. In the original trilogy, how many people within two did Darth Vader actually kill by himself, either by hand, force, or as a pilot? And I put a note in here that there is a debate as to whether or not he killed Kenobi or Kenobi gave himself to the Force.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some people argue that he committed suicide by asking Luke to take off his mask. So for argument's sake, neither himself nor Kenobi count.
And we're not counting the fact that he ordered the planet to be blown up, right?
Correct.
That would be a lot. Yeah.
It would be in Calc.
That was Tarkin did that.
Oh, was it Tarkin? Okay.
Those Tusken Raiders.
Was it Tarkin or was it CGI Tarkin?
CGI Tarkin actually didn't. He just half destroyed a couple planets. Oh, okay. He didn't destroy the whole planet until he was real Tarkin.
Okay.
It's like someone joins in like right now. Like, what are they talking about? Who is Tarkin? All right, Matt.
I think I'm close.
Write yours down, and then that's exactly what I wrote down.
Is it?
Let's lock him.
Okay. We're locked in.
So dudes that he personally kills.
I think it's like three or four. It's very few.
Yeah. I think there's a couple that he ices in the, does he even kill anybody in the very first scene on the ship that Prince Leia is on?
Well, he force chokes that one guy to death.
To death?
Yeah.
Oh, we forgot when he goes through the corridor and like kills all those people.
That's Rogue
before.
One.
I know. I'm just trying to mess you up.
Get out of here. I'm talking about CGI Tarkin here. You think you're going to get me?
Through the force or as a pilot.
Does he get anybody as a pilot? Oh, let's say three. Let's say three.
Okay.
Wait, it's within two? Let's say two.
Okay.
Because if it's zero, then we'll get zero.
It could be zero.
Right, let's say two.
Okay. Matt?
I think he definitely got a couple of guys in the fights that where they're dogfighting or whatever, and was it the X-Wing or TIE fighter or whatever it is. Pretty sure he gets the two, and I think he did force choke somebody, but for some reason I was just drawn to six.
Yeah, and I kind of wrote down six too. I figured it was a low amount, which is why the Rogue One fight scene at the end was so powerful, because he just killed a ton of guys in a matter of seconds.
You
so.
Never get to see that.
You never get to see it because he's so powerful, yet you never see him be so powerful until Rogue One showed it. So, which is a reshoot too, which is kudos to them. But let's do, we're going to go with six.
What you're going to say is the last 5 minutes of Rogue One where he just goes ballistic, man, is, by, in my opinion, the best 5 minutes of all Star Wars, all combined.
So good.
All together. Yes, it is. The actual number that he killed was 11 in the trilogy.
Wow, you're short.
They are listed as such. Number one, he killed Captain Antilles at the beginning of A New Hope. And then two through five in the trenches in his ship as a pilot, he killed three Y-wing pilots. Mm-hmm. Then six or eight, he killed three X-wing pilots, including Biggs and Red Leader. Mm-hmm. In Empire Strikes Back, he force chokes Admiral Ozzel and then Captain Nita. And in Return of the Jedi, he kills Emperor Palpatine.
And after five questions, it looks like the Black Lotai have a very slight lead of 21 points to 20.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
21 points.
We're not as geeky as you probably would have hoped, Chris, but we're trying.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, are you guys having fun?
Oh, we love it. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I'm having a great good time too. That's all that matters, right?
At least we understand the questions are answered.
That's true. You haven't said a word I don't know yet. So,
let me see. Number six. Oh my God, you killed Kenny. And this question was thanks to my friend, give a little shout out if it's okay.
Yeah.
To my friend Scott Gibson, who is the owner and one of the hosts of Louisville Trivia. He's really the one who hired me, got me as a host. Mm-hmm. And so this question is thanks to him.
Your hero, so, Scott.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott Gibson of Louisville Trivia.
Louisville, a real trivia hotbed.
Yeah, it is. We got to visit down there and do some sort of event.
Mm-hmm. All right. Again, number six. Oh my God, you killed Kenny. In the 1999 movie South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, you finally get to hear Kenny's voice for one sentence. Who provided the voice for that one sentence?
Matt, I have an idea. I've only seen this movie once, but I know kind of the story.
Do you have any better guess?
No, that's a great, it's on theme. He definitely did a surprise voice, which is really funny. But
all right, so after a brief discussion, me and Jeff are in...
Yeah, so Matt, I've only seen this movie once, and I don't know much about it. I know more about like the story behind it. I'm more into like the behind the scenes of how Trey Parker and Matt Stone make the show. Like, I loved they did this little documentary about how they turn around episodes in a week and whatnot.
It's crazy.
But anyway, I do know I don't know if it was the movie or the television show. It might have been the television show that they had someone voice Kenny, who was like a creator of another show, a cartoon. Or
could this be Seth MacFarlane?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. Those were like the only cartoon people. There's no one else, right?
Yeah, let's say Seth MacFarlane.
Okay. Seth MacFarlane.
And I just remembered there's something with South Park and George Clooney. I don't know if that was it, but we went with George Clooney.
Clooney was the gay turkey.
No, George Clooney did the voice of Kyle's dog, who was gay.
The gay dog. Yeah. That's what that is. Hmm.
Kyle's dog, right?
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right, you guys were so close. You actually mentioned his name before. It was actually Mike Judge that provided this voice of Kenny.
Well, I was happy that he said it out loud.
We're in the right ballpark, so it was like another creator. So.
It was a toss-up at that point.
Yeah,
Mike Judge created one of our more recent favorite shows.
Silicon Valley?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah.
Number seven. I never got into anime, so this is the best I got. I know Sarah told me that a lot of you guys are into anime.
We are sitting on the right side of the table.
So I have no idea if this is a super easy or super hard question, so I just found it, and so hopefully it works. But the question, in the 1985 anime, Vampire Hunter D.
Easy.
We're going to get this wrong.
Count Magnus Lee. Is purportedly named after a famous actor. For 10 points, what's the actor's name?
I don't watch anime. What's the name of the character?
Count Mangus Lee.
You're locked in?
Yeah, we'll lock in.
Okay, it's from 85, so Mangus.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce Lee makes the most sense. It's the time period, it's anime. It's
Mangus Lee. I mean, we're not talking about like Christopher Lee, right? Because it is Vampire Hunter and Christopher Lee played Dracula. Oh.
That makes more sense. Let's go with that.
Okay, that's I don't know at all. I just
Me either.
That's my logic. I don't.
And I was just potentially.
I mean,
racist.
If you want to go with that, because he was Dracula a ton in Hammer films and stuff.
Yeah, let's lock in with that.
Or we'll go Christopher Lee.
Yeah, me and Jeff are more familiar with the sequel, Vampire Hunter D: Bloodlust. I have seen the first Vampire Hunter D movie as well. I think it's based off Christopher Lee, based on the name.
You both teams are correct. Ooh. It is Sir Christopher Lee.
All right.
It was 85, so I think of everybody in this group, I'm the only one here that was alive when it came out.
Depending on when it came out,
I was breathing, but not walking yet.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
If it came out in December, I was alive.
You were alive for the whole year minus part of a day, Neil?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. Number eight, Oh Captain, My Captain. In the Star Trek series of the 60s, what was the name of the first captain of the Star Trek Enterprise, NCC-1701?
We're locked in.
I think in the first episode or whatever it is.
Wasn't it Spock? And then he their relationship started off on the wrong foot because he took over for Spock?
Right. Yeah, because that he doesn't start off as the captain, and then he's thrust into it, and that's kind of where the show...
I don't know where I'm getting that. I always thought that Spock always had that weird... I don't really watch the show, but he always had that weird thing with Kirk because he was the captain. He was the smartest one on the ship, but he wasn't captain.
Yeah, no, I mean, if it's not him, I don't have a name of anybody else.
I don't either.
I just know that it's not going to be the ship.
I just know, damn it, Jim, I'm not a doctor, or is that what he's saying? I can't remember.
Yeah, well, Bones. Whatever. We're going to... Spock, right?
Yeah, let's go Spock.
Leonard Nimoy.
Doohan.
All right. Well, I have seen the first episode of Star Trek, and only the first episode of Star Trek, and I've watched the new set of movies.
That's good, because Shatner comes in the second episode of Star Trek.
Yeah, something like that. And anyways, I was surprised to learn that it starts out, I think that character Pike is the first captain of the Enterprise.
Oh, from the movies, Pike?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I can't quite remember, but I think it's Pike.
Okay, you are correct. And it is Christopher Pike. Mm. He was the captain of the original pilot, and he was portrayed by Bruce Greenwood, I believe, as Admiral Pike in
that
the
is correct.
09 reboot.
Neil, come on, Neil.
Number 9, roll the dice. When Gary Gygax invented Dungeons & Dragons, he was unable to find a publisher and created his own company to publish it under an acronym company name. For 10 points, name the acronym company he created. For a bonus 5 points, what does the acronym stand for?
I need to make a intelligence check here. We're going to lock in with D-I-C-E.
That's smart. Dice. Oh!
I've always known it to be distributed by Wizards of the Coast, but obviously that happened later.
What do you think? I just wrote down AWOL because it's kind of like a military term. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, he was saying, it was funny, D-I-C-E. I was thinking it was D-I-C because that was a company that was around then. They ended up producing cartoons and stuff.
It could be them then. We can go with DNCE for Joe Jonas.
Yeah, right. But what did that stand for?
He left the U out.
So DNCE.
DNCE.
Fine. Yeah, I don't know.
We're going to call it Dungeons Where Neil...
This is worth it.
Dungeons Where Neil Does Calligraphy in Ecuadorian.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it stands for.
Okay, we're just going with dice. No second response.
Yeah, you're so close with the Dungeons with Neil. No, it's actually TSR, which stands for Tactical Studies Rules.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
All right, question 10, Open Sesame. This is thanks to, I got this question, Erin Barclay. She sent me a bunch of questions that I could use because I know very little about Harry Potter. I know I'm in the minority there, but she was nice and gracious enough to help me out here.
You're in the majority on this show because we're not generally the biggest Harry Potter people either.
Thank you, Erin.
So in Harry Potter, which spell is used to open doors?
I know a few spells.
Yeah, if it's not Leviosa.
Relactin.
I don't know what
Relactin,
it is.
Okay. So you have Leviosa.
Yeah.
Or you have, that's right, because they always,
I just started watching the movies for the first time, and I literally got to that scene and fell asleep and haven't picked up. So.
Well, because they argue, because one goes Leviosa, one goes Leviosa.
But this isn't the right answer.
And then there's, I don't know, I'm thinking of the stag, or what's that thing called that he has? His like spirit animal. I'm thinking of that spell, but it's
Patronus.
Not Patronus. Thank you. Yeah. Oh yeah, Expecto Patronum. It's not that. How about Opanin Sesama?
Yeah, sure. Fine. Whatever gibberish you just said is our answer.
We'll say Eponine Sesame, which is the character from Les Mis plus Sesame Street.
Okay, great. We are not positive on this, but Alohomora popped into my head, so I'm going to say Alohomora.
The answer is Alohomora.
Oh, come on.
I'm the biggest Harry Potter fan, guys.
Just like you're the biggest Collingwood Magpies fan, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
You're a real
Hufflepuff. He's a Carlton fan.
All right. After 10 questions, it looks like the Black Lotai are still in the lead, 51-30 against the, what was it, Iron Geek?
Iron Geek.
Yeah. Right. We're not doing too good of a showing today. We're not having too good of a showing.
Let's get into the swing round, see what happens.
Need some WD-40. It'll loosen you up.
For the swing round, I'm going to give you the name of a real name of a superhero for 5 points each. Name the superhero associated with the increasingly difficult real name.
Ooh.
Number 1, Hal Jordan. Number 2, Steve Rogers.
Right.
Number 3, Slade Wilson. Number 4, Selena Kyle. Number 5, Wade Wilson. Number 6, Aurora Monroe. Number 7, Johann Schmidt. Number 8, Jesse Custer. Number 9, Nathan Summers. And number 10, Wanda Maximoff.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, looks like the answers are locked in on both sides. We'll see what we got.
All right, number 1, Hal Jordan.
All right, Hal Jordan, I think, is one of the Green Lanterns.
Yeah, we went with the same.
Very good. Number 2, Steve Rogers.
Captain America.
And Jeff's doing the Captain America pose when he's pulling the helicopter back in with his immaculate biceps, so we said Captain America.
It is Captain America, yes. Number 3, Slade Wilson.
So I was trying to think of the name here, and Deadshot kept coming to mind from Suicide Squad, but I didn't think it was him. I thought it was the other mercenary guy, kind of the Deadpool of the DC universe, but I couldn't pull the name, but it's something like Deadshot or something like that.
Yeah, this is he's actually in the Arrowverse. He's he's on the island with them in the beginning. It's Deathstroke, I believe.
Damn it. I knew it.
Yeah, you're correct. It is Deathstroke. Deadshot is actually the mercenary you're probably thinking of. It's Floyd Lawton. Is
no,
his name?
No, I was thinking of Deathstroke. I just couldn't think of his name.
He has the dueling swords right on the back.
Yeah,
Joe Manganiello.
I went with Deadshot as a backup answer.
Apparently, but Joe Manganiello is a huge D&D player.
Oh, really?
He's got this like whole man cave in his basement. And Sofia Vergara like caters D&D events. It sounds like the cutest thing I've ever heard.
It's like some kind of D&D event.
Yeah.
All right, number 4, Selena Kyle.
That would be Catwoman.
Mm-hmm. Catwoman, yep.
Yep. Number 5, Wade Wilson.
Jason wouldn't forgive us. Who hosts our trivia night? That's Deadpool.
That would be Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool.
Yes, it is. Number 6, Aurora Monroe.
That is Storm from the X-Men. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we went through this one back and forth, and I thought it was Storm because it sounded like Aurora Borealis is what we're talking about.
Yeah, but something, some kind of weather, and then we went with Poison Ivy anyway.
That is Storm. Number 6, Johann Schmidt.
This one took a little longer, but I was thinking about German characters and ended up with the Red Skull.
Yeah, all I could hear in my head was Dr. Zola, so I went with Red Skull.
Yeah, that is correct, Red Skull. Number 8.
Find the cube. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Number 8, Jesse Custer.
This one did not ring a bell at all for me, so we just went with Reverse Flash.
That's not bad. I felt like I had heard the name before, but you know, it probably isn't, but we went with Mr. Freeze.
Jesse Custer actually goes by the name Preacher.
If you guys have
seen the series on AMC, I highly recommend it. Cassidy is probably one of the best characters ever. Preacher's a very, very dark type thing. If Jesse Custer is actually an anagram for Secret Jesus. So it's a very dark show, and if you're pretty sensitive, I wouldn't suggest watching it, but if you're not so sensitive, then it's fantastic.
Yep, no problems in this room.
Number 9, Nathan Summers.
Yeah, this one, this is the last one that we didn't have, and I didn't know what it was, so I was trying to think of a name that sounded superhero-y, and the accounting, or the company that we do our accounting through for work is called Havoc, so we wrote Havoc.
believe Nathan Summers is Cyclops' brother who shoots beams out of his chest, and his name's Havok.
So you're so close. Nathan Summers is actually Cyclops' son.
Oh.
And his name is Cable.
Oh. Oh, Josh Brolin. And then there's another guy, though, who has stuff that comes out of his chest. Siren, maybe.
That's Havok.
That is Havok.
Alex Summers.
Oh.
Yep, Alex Summers. Yeah.
And Mr. Freeze's name, Victor Freeze.
Yes. There
you go. That's a good one.
Victor Freeze.
And number 10, Wanda Maximoff.
Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch.
Yep, also known as the daughter of Magneto, Scarlet Witch.
And the third Olsen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love that they always seem to forget that she's Magneto's kid. Or at least they stopped it because of the rights issue there between Fox and Marvel.
All right. After that swing round, looks like we picked up 35 points to bring us to 86. 35 points going to the Iron Geek as well for 65 total.
Yeah, we're hanging in there.
Yeah. What's funny, in an unprecedented move in the Triviality bylaws, if you hit the number 86 on the dot, you get 0 points because it's 86th. Yikes. It's like 21.
Round two. Put away the underoos and it's time to get your big boy tights on. Number one, it's about time. In 2005, Time magazine compiled a list of the most influential and best novels of the past century, beginning in 1923 to 2005. Surprisingly to many, a single graphic novel made that list. What was that graphic novel?
Locked in.
Is this The Watchmen?
I would think so. I think that's like the most highly regarded graphic novel. Yeah. Either that or Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, or The Killing Joke is that, but I think that's later, and I don't know. Because I know those are like the big Batman ones that are...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like The Watchmen is... Watchmen is the most well-regarded.
Yeah. You want to lock in with that one?
Yeah.
We'll okay.
We are locking in with Watchmen.
That is correct. Watchmen. Fantastic graphic novel. A lot of people didn't like the movie. I thought it was great. A lot of people just hate Zack Snyder, but I thought the movie was excellent.
Oh, Snyder's
I feel like
bad.
If you liked the graphic novel, there's really no problem, especially with the extended edition of the Watchmen movie, except for some of the acting, maybe. Like, it's got problems, but overall, I think it's pretty good.
And Snyder's Man of Steel isn't that bad either. People overreact to it.
Who's watching the Watchmen
right
now?
That's
the question.
Number two, fake people have feelings too. In the movie Blade Runner, what derogatory word do some humans refer to replicants as?
Locked in.
Have you seen the newer Blade Runner?
Yeah. They're replicants or the robots. I'm trying to remember the derogatory term.
Like rust buckets?
It's something like simple like that. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pull it.
I've never seen it. So
I like rust buckets. That works.
Okay. We locked in.
Not electric sheep. It's skin jobs.
That is correct. Skin jobs.
No comment.
Neil, like 1,000 jokes just passed through Neil's mind.
I was going to eat my Dunkin' Munchkin and be quiet.
Yeah.
Number three. So I dubbed The Unforgiven, also provided by Aaron Barclay. Thanks. Right. Thank you again, Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
And in Harry Potter, who was the first person that Harry used an unforgivable curse on?
There's two people I think it might be.
Is this fat brother?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Augustus Groot?
I have two people. You're not
like
that.
That's also
right?
Not correct for the context.
Augustus Groot.
I believe it's Augustus Gloop.
Whatever.
Let's talk about it. I have two ideas.
Showing my geek cred there.
Well, there's the Unforgiven curse where you sound like Clint Eastwood.
Well, I guess.
Curse of the Bambino. That's when you...
Yep.
Sell your best pitcher.
Yeah, the curse of the Billy Goat.
Uh-huh. We could be locked in with your answer, by the way.
You want to go with that?
Yeah,
okay.
That's fine.
All right.
We're locked in.
I'm trying to remember how Bellatrix meets her end.
Let's say Voldemort. Let's say Voldy.
Okay.
Voldemort.
It might be the one and only time.
Voldemort.
Voldemort.
Was that you and I doing that during that game? The Harry Potter game when Aaron was hosting and we were Team Voldemort. We were like, Voldemort. Yeah. Vote Goldie or Voldy Wilson for mayor.
Mayor.
So I wrote down Malfoy, which is ultimately our answer, but there's two instances. I remember he was fighting Malfoy and he did it and then he got in big trouble. And I don't know if it was from Professor Snape or someone else. But I remember he did it to him, I think. And then when Matt said his brother, I know he got into a fight with his muggle brother.
Don't say the other one.
Right.
We're not allowed to say things around here like that.
But I remember, I think he did it to him, or there was a scene when he got scared by the Death Eaters and then they thought Harry did it. I can't remember. But anyway, I just put Malfoy because I know they had a duel and then he did it and then he got in big trouble.
And you guys are with Voldemort?
Voldemort.
All right, we are locked in.
All right, according to this, it's the first person he uses the Unforgivable Curse on was Bellatrix.
Is that? Right. I can't really deny that because I have no idea. So
yeah,
sounds
that,
right.
That was my gut, but I couldn't remember. So
yes. Sorry.
You win this round, Aaron.
And Voldemort.
She wins both rounds. Got
yeah.
both.
Yeah.
All right, question number four. Wow, she gets around. This is also from my friend Scott at Louisville Trivia. What actress has starred in the following TV shows and or movies? Firefly and Serenity, Dollhouse, Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, Alphas, and Arrow.
Reluctant.
Yep.
Oh my God. It's Summer. Now I can't believe I'm forgetting her name.
Summer from what?
Firefly.
I didn't see Firefly. I watched Dollhouse.
Eliza Dushku?
No, it's not Eliza Dushku.
She is in Dollhouse.
Yeah.
And Alphas, I think.
She's
in Arrow.
Oh, this is going to kill me. I'll get it. Hold on. I can't believe I'm forgetting her name. She's like...
Is it the girl from the OC?
She's like a geek queen. No, from Firefly. She did Marshall. You didn't watch that. So Dollhouse, she was... no, and Sarah Connor Chronicles, she was the Terminator.
Okay.
Or no, her name is Summer. Not the character.
Summer Johnson.
Summer
Roberts. Johnson is someone who's been on there.
Summer Roberts.
I can't remember her last name. I think it's Summer. I'm not gonna get it. I got it. Oh, okay.
Summer Autumn.
All right, we're locked in with Summer.
Summer Glau.
What a Dunkin' Munchkin.
Stop saying that.
Summer Glau is correct. Number five. If you thought she got around, get a load of this guy. What actor has appeared in the following movie or movie franchises? Flash Gordon, The Neverending Story, Transformers, Star Wars, Star Trek, and Doctor Who.
Wow.
Oh, see, I know a guy that was in two of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he was in all the other ones, though.
Interesting.
Because he was younger in Flash Gordon, and then as he aged.
Right.
If he was in Star Wars and he was in Star Trek... It's the same director,
mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that maybe he cast him again.
Okay.
But I can't be...
Let's just lock in with that, because okay. I don't think we're going to get closer.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
And now you guys can chat.
There is somebody that's in Star Wars and Star Trek, and I'm trying to remember who the crossover is.
Simon Pegg is.
Simon Pegg makes sense.
Is he in Doctor Who?
God, I feel like he... Nick Frost is, definitely, because he plays Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of these, like... Rogue One or anything.
Simon Pegg is a good one. Would he have been around for Flash Gordon? He could have been a voice. He does voiceover work.
I doubt he's in Flash Gordon.
The one I was going to say as a joke is John Hurt is super old, and John Hurt is one of the doctors. He's barely in it. He's in like a special.
He's in everything.
He's Dr. 9 1/2, I think.
Yeah. He's not in Star Trek, though, or Star Wars.
No. Andy Serkis.
No.
Not
Idris Elba, no.
No. Damn, this is hard.
Yeah.
Until we hear it, and then we're like, oh, yeah.
We're going to lock in with Ricardo Montalban.
That's a good guess. I heard some really cool names. There are some people that are in multiple franchises on this list that are younger, but I thought since Flash Gordon is older, it would have to be someone who was maybe 30, 40 in that time and then was older in the other franchises. So Matt agreed. I could be way off, but I know he's in Star Trek or Star Wars. I know he's in Flash Gordon, so I just played the odds, and I went with Ken's favorite, Forgive Me, John, Max von Sydow.
Damn, that might be right.
His birth name was Mohinder Purba. He's 4'4" tall. He is of Indian descent. And of all the 165 Loompa Loompas in Charlie the Chocolate Factory, he played every one of them. And he goes by the name Deep Roy.
All right. So after five questions in that round, it looks like we have moved up to 116. Where are you guys landing?
We only got 10 more points, so we're at 75.
All right.
All right. Question number six. Metropolis, not where you think. In 1938, two young men of Jewish heritage named Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster living in New York City, created the Man of Steel who would forever be known as Superman, right? Wrong. Simon and Schuster were actually from another city. What city was it?
Do you write something down?
Yeah, I have an idea.
Well, yeah, we can go with yours if you want.
I mean, I don't really know, so.
It's okay.
We're locked in then.
All right. So he's originally from Smallville, Kansas.
Oh.
Do you want to pick a Kansas city or just go Smallville, even though I think it's fictional?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like you're thinking like a Topeka?
Sure.
Or a
Topeka, Kansas.
I'll let Matt say his. I was thinking maybe it was Kansas City because Metropolis is in Kansas in the comics. But what do you?
Well, I was thinking he's the Man of Steel. Maybe he's from Steel City. So we said Pittsburgh.
Okay, Pittsburgh was really close. I had to do a shout out to the state that I live in of Ohio. They were actually from Cleveland.
Oh.
Yeah, and in fact, Ohio is the only state. If you see people with Ohio plates, you can actually get a Superman license plate.
Oh, cool.
And nice. Their plates, they basically, the extra fees that you do go to, they pay for Jewish American scholarships. So I have a proud Superman license plate on my car.
That's nice. Cool. That's great.
Yeah, I love it too. All right, number 7. I apologize in advance for the earworm, but ain't no lie, tie, tie, tie. In Star Wars, the Galactic Empire uses a plethora of short-range fighters known as TIE fighters. TIE is actually an acronym. What does TIE stand for?
If I hadn't heard this 8 million times and not remember
that. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I've heard it a lot too. Okay, I think you had the, let me see the last word you have there.
Yes.
Okay, all right, we'll try that. We'll lock it in.
Yep.
So TIE we're going with?
I think so.
Tactical Intercept. Tactical
Evasion?
Yeah. Tactical Intercept and Evasion.
That sounds pretty clean. So I originally wrote down Tactical Infantry something, and then Matt wrote down...
So I always thought it was something like that, but then I looked up and I thought it had something to do with the style of engine that it has. So I thought it was twin something engine, and then Neil wrote down ion. So we locked in with twin ion engine.
I think that might be right.
It is twin ion engine. Nice pull.
Yeah.
Matt.
Nice job.
Nice pull.
Yeah, as soon as you said it was about the engine, I was like, oh, he's right. Because
the rest of it, like the X-Wing, A-Wing is actually based off the style of it, but these ones were based off the engine, which is weird.
All right. Number 8, Lost in Translation. This is also thanks to Scott from Louisville Trivia. The question is, what 1991 Sega Genesis game brought us a catchphrase, all your base belong to us?
Another one that I've heard 10,000 times. Maybe I'll pull this one too. But
I mean, I used to write this all the time.
It might be
all your base
are belong to us.
Yeah. Yes. It's a bad translation from a Japanese game.
You probably know better than I would then.
You have no idea.
No.
Okay. Then we're going to lock in with what I have.
Do you have any idea?
I can't remember.
Is it mother?
Mother.
Again.
I don't think it's mother. I don't think it's Doom either. It's not the first Doom.
I think it's Mother.
Okay. We can go with that.
I think it's from like a JRPG, and I think it's based in space and something. So we locked in with Star Commander.
Yeah, so close. It's Zero Wing is the name of the game.
Mm.
Which is, it was kind of like basically a Wing Commander ripoff, but I had fun with it.
Right. Yeah, I've never actually played it. I've only seen that one meme over and over and over.
All right, number 9. It's about damn time. In The Fellowship of the Ring, the movie suggests that when Gandalf went to Minas Tirith to research the ring, he was gone for a few weeks or months. In the books, however, he was actually gone for a very long period of time. Within two, how many years was Gandalf gone?
To break this down,
is
Matt
Ken the only one who's read the books in the room?
Correct. I would think so, yeah.
Okay.
This Ken will be fine on his own, so I'm just going to talk. Is Gandalf like 500 years old or something? Is he like an old, not immortal, but isn't he like...
He's a wizard.
Yeah, so he's pretty old?
I can imagine he looks pretty old. I think those, like the trees, you know, they've known him a long time.
And they walk around, they talk to him.
Hundreds of years.
Imagine Aaron Sorkin doing Fellowship of the Ring where the trees do a walk and talk.
This won't help Neil, but technically Gandalf is an angel.
Oh, Gandalf the White.
Essentially.
He's a
even as the gray.
Oh, okay.
A one-winged angel. He's not.
So it's probably a lot. If it's a few weeks in the movie.
It's within two.
So oh, you're right. Figure
that's the
with your logic, right?
You got to do a little bit of game theory.
How about?
I would. It probably between 25 and 30 years, somewhere in that range. I would think.
Oh, that much.
Yeah, I mean he's pretty smart. I don't think he needs hundreds of years. It's just a ring. You could figure it out. 23. Yeah, lucky 23.
Okay.
Slam dunk. We're locked in.
It's bothering me because they're like right in the right ballpark,
mm-hmm.
but I need to make sure that we get the 2 year range. It's like, I think it's 20 years, but it might be 25. I think it's 20 though.
Okay.
Let's go 20.
You know, I'm kind of kicking myself a little bit because when I originally wrote the question, it was within 3 years. How many years was he gone? He was actually gone for 17 years.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we were off by 6. I don't feel bad then.
Yeah, but we were off by what would have been a right answer.
I feel better about it now.
Blame me. All right, question number 10. He slimed me.
All right.
Although the glutinous ghost was never named in the first Ghostbusters movie, in the second movie he was named Slimer and was sort of the mascot of the team. In interviews, Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman have described Slimer as, quote-unquote, the ghost of... what actor?
Hmm.
Yes.
Okay. We're locked.
Or the other one.
All right. So an actor, gluttonous actor.
Yeah.
Possibly green.
Boisterous. Dead.
I'm not actually seeing the Ghostbusters movies.
Okay.
How?
We're going to say...
Firefly, Matt. Firefly.
That's Costello, true. Of Abbott and Costello.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I had written down, apparently the wrong Belushi, written down Jim. According to Jim, he is still alive, and we're locking in with John Belushi.
The answer is John Belushi.
All right, so the second half of that round proved perilous for the Black Lodi, and we are hanging out at 116 and 95 points mm-hmm. for Iron Geek.
Catching up.
Okay, final round. The topics are, number one, the doctor will see you now, and then, and later. Number two, Game of Thrones has lots of puppies, and dire wolves too. Number three, a lot of money for some old school action. Number four, my name is Mud. And number five, if the glove fits, you must 50% acquit.
My name is Mud. I know the song, but I don't know the... My name is Mud. Right? Isn't that the one?
Just pretend.
All right. And then if you must acquit.
Yeah, I know some OJ stuff.
Okay. I don't think that's going to be in this game, though. We'll go five.
It's a geek trivia game. Yeah.
Okay. We're all in.
Okay. Question one. The doctor will see you now and then and later. To date, there have been 14 actors that are officially recognized to have portrayed Doctor Who. Name at least 7 of them. Question 2.
Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones has lots of puppies and direwolves too. In Game of Thrones, the Stark children discover 6 direwolf pups and each gets one and names them. What are the names of all 6 direwolves?
Yeah, we're fine.
Number 3. A lot of money for some old school action. In 2014, a pristine copy of 1938's Action Comics number 1, which was the first appearance of Superman, sold on eBay for a record price for a comic book. Within $500,000, how much did the comic book sell for? Number 4, My Name is Mud. Widely accredited as the precursor to the MMORPG, and for those of those listening that don't know what that means, that stands for Massively Multiplayer Online Role-Playing Game. The MUD was the first type of computer program to incorporate role-playing adventures with multiple players via computer connection. What does MUD stand for? And number 5, if the glove fits, you must 50% acquit. In Infinity Wars and the MCU, Thanos needs and acquired all the Infinity Stones to complete the glove. Hashtag thanks, Star-Lord. The colors of the stones were in alphabetical order. Blue, green, orange, purple, red, and yellow. Again, that's blue, green, orange, purple, red, and yellow. The names of the stones, also in alphabetical order, were mind, power, reality, soul, space, and time. Again, that's mind, power, reality, soul, space, and time. Match up the correct colors with the correct names.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
One particular argument, he ended up dislocating Ava's jaw. Ava, she was such a tough cookie. Rather than cry or scream or anything like that, she...
Or call the police,
like she should have, exactly. What does she do? She takes an ashtray and she knocks him over the head and knocks him unconscious. That's how she fought back. She didn't know what to do, so she called Louis B. Mayer. I think I've killed Howard Hughes. What do I do?
Revisit a time when the pictures were still big and everyone was ready for their close-up. When you want Tyrone Power instead of Tom Hardy, Jennifer Jones instead of Jennifer Lawrence, or Robert Mitchum rather than Robert Pattinson, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
All right, all the answers are locked in.
All right. Number one, the Doctor we'll see now then later named 14, there name at least seven of the 14 actors that have been Doctor Who.
All right, we'll go first over here at Black Lodi. We wagered 15 points on this one. And we are going to start with Matt Smith.
Christopher Eccleston.
Peter Capaldi.
David Tennant.
Tom Baker.
I think we said John Hurt.
And your last one?
Is Jodie Whittaker.
Okay. I don't know if they consider John Hurt an official doctor, by the way, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we didn't know anymore, so.
Okay, so we wagered 10 on our end for the Iron Geek. So I'm just starting from now, going backwards. Went Jodie Whittaker, Peter Capaldi, Matt Smith, David Tennant, Christopher Eccleston, Paul McGann was the one in the movie, and then we said Tom Baker, and we just said Peter Davison, who is David Tennant's father-in-law.
Okay, the answers are from number one, how the chronological order. Number one, William Hartnell. Number two, Patrick Troughton, I believe. Number three is John Pertwee. Number four, the one I grew up with personally, and Tom Baker. Number five, Peter Davison. Number six, Colin Baker. Number seven, Sylvester McCoy, also known as Radagast the Brown from the Hobbit movies. Number eight was Paul McGann. Number nine, Christopher Eccleston, who is my wife's favorite one. Number 10, and my personal favorite one, is David Tennant.
Yeah, I like him too.
Number 11, Matt Smith. Number 12, Peter Capaldi. Number 13, Jodie Whittaker. And number 14, as the War Doctor, John Hurt.
Nice.
I had Davidson too, so that would have sucked if we missed that.
All right, question two. In Game of Thrones, the Stark children discover six direwolves. What are their names?
Okay, we put 20 chips on the table for this one. You want to switch off again?
Yeah, do you want to start with the one that I famously missed on our Game of Thrones trivia?
I believe that was Nymeria, right? That you missed?
I missed Summer.
Summer.
Brand's.
Okay, there's two.
And then the other ones, you have Ghost belonging to John.
Shaggy Dog.
Rickon. Yeah. Grey Wind is Rob's. We said Shaggy Dog, Grey Wind, Summer, Lady, Ghost, and then Nymeria would be the last one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were right around the same. We said Clifford, Scrappy-Doo, Scooby-Doo, Marmaduke, Brain, and Odie.
And we wagered a big fat zero.
Yeah.
They are as follows. Rob's is Grey Wind. Sansa's is Lady. Arya's is Nymeria. Bran's was Summer. Rickon's was Shaggy Dog. And Jon Snow's was Ghost.
Depends on if you count him as a Stark or not.
Spoilers.
Number three, a lot of money for some old school action. Within $500,000, how much did a pristine copy of 1938's Action Comics number one sell for in 2014?
All right. For a big 10, we said 1.3 mil.
Mm. Yeah, we wagered 15. We originally thought this was going to be about an action movie, but it was not. So we originally wrote down 1.3. We discussed it. Matt thought it was 2.5. Then we kind of brought it down to in the middle there. So we went with 1.9.
The answer was $3,207,852.
Wow. Not close.
And after eBay's fees, I think they got like $26 after that.
Yeah.
That was their final poll. My name is Mud. The MUD, M-U-D, was the first type of computer program to incorporate role-playing adventures with multiplayer via computer connection. What does MUD stand for?
We wagered 10 on this. I'm not really too familiar with that term before, but for me it sounded like something that could be like a dungeon crawler you play with other people. So we said multiple user dungeon.
And we didn't really know, so we just wagered 10 and put multiple user directed.
The answer was a multi-user dungeon.
Ooh,
it was I don't know. Did you guys ever read the book Ready Player One?
Yes. I saw the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. In the book, but not in the movie, there's this game. They talk about Zork. That was a, mm-hmm. that was a MUD. That was one of the first ones.
It was adventure.
Text-based. Yeah.
Based off Radio Zork, right?
Yeah.
It used to be an old call-in radio show. You told them what
I believe
to
so.
Yeah. You would tell them what they would be like, should I open the door? And then users would call or listeners would call in and tell you what to do.
Hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
That's cool. But yeah, multi-user dungeon, there's also a multi-user dimension and multi-user domain where like the afterwards, any of those three answers would have been acceptable.
Cool. So all this time, we didn't know that the Matthew McConaughey movie was about gaming.
Right.
Number five, if the glove fits, you must 50% acquit. The colors of the stones of Thanos' glove compared to the names of the stones. Got six. What were your answers?
All right. I'm just going to take this one away. We wagered 10 on this one. We said mind came out of Vision's head, and that was yellow. Power was the one from Guardians of the Galaxy, and that was purple. Reality is the ether, and that's red. Soul is orange. Space is the tesseract, which is blue, and time is green.
Oh, we got some of those right. we wagered 5. I'll let Matt take it.
Yeah, I think we just mixed up. I think it's because we're colorblind. We said yellow was mind, red was soul, purple was space, orange was reality, green was time, and blue was power.
Okay, the correct answers are in alphabetical order from the colors. Blue, which is space, green is time, orange is soul, purple is power, red is reality, and yellow is mind.
Yeah, so we got orange, red, and blue, purple mixed up, which is perfect color blindness. So good for us.
All right, at the end of the game, it looks like we picked up an extra 25 points, all said and done, and you guys broke even. So that brings our score to 141, and you guys are at 95. So it looks like we are the cream of the crop, or as Chris says, the suit of the Groot.
I am the cream.
Yeah, that was a great game. It just some of those questions were just a little outside of
not for us
out of our zone. But you guys seemed to be zoned in the whole time. So
yeah, if it was from a TV show or a movie, we had a chance. So
yeah,
that's what matters.
Well, for the next one, I'll put more stuff in TV shows and movies and less stuff in comic books and
that's fine
stuff like that.
We'll have to read a book once in a while.
Yeah, right.
Jeff, you know, having spent the last 15 or 16 years, you know, doing nerd stuff alongside you, it's been a pleasure and an honor.
Had some good times.
Is this going to be a breakup? Is this going to be live on air, a breakup? Voldemort. Voldemort. Chris, before we let you go, why don't you give a shout out to everyone who helped you write the game today, and then also any shout outs personally that you'd like to give out?
Well, shout out to Scott, who helped me. Also, Aaron, who helped me with some questions. Even though we'd never met, she was very gracious and, you know, didn't think of me as like a stalker or a crazy person when I said this random person is things asking for questions. And thanks to my wife, Jess, and sister-in-law, Sarah, for helping me make these questions a little bit less verbose, if you will.
We appreciate it.
but a special thing, I'm getting ready to actually retire from my day job in about 7 years is when I'm eligible.
Congrats.
And my wife has been very supportive of my post-retirement dreams, which I've always wanted to do. Whereas most people in my life have always quashed that dream, she's not only very supportive, but she's actually being quite a bit of a pit bull and helping me to attain this. And hopefully within 2 years that she and I will be the proprietors of a local comic book shop. That is right. My retirement goals.
Very cool.
I don't need to be a millionaire. I know I won't be a millionaire, but if we're just doing it, if I could just spend the rest of my days doing what I want to. And, but yeah, she's been instrumental in Pitbull. Yeah. And, you know, when you got support like that at home, man, that really makes you the richest person in the world.
That's well, right. If you find one of those Action Comics number one, you will be a 3.2 millionaire or whatever that was. So that's good.
That's before eBay's fees.
Right, absolutely. Right.
Congratulations on that. We wish you all the luck with the comic book store. And have you picked out a name yet, or you're still working on it?
Yes, we have. We picked out a name, and we're going to file the LLC at the beginning of the year. I had a dog, Seamus. He was my boxer, and he was my best pal. And unfortunately, we had to put him down. Mm. He's getting old and in ill health. And he was known for his crooked face. And so we're looking for somebody to do a caricature of it, and it's going to be called Crooked Dog Comics and Games.
Oh, all right, that's great. Yeah, that's awesome. Tip of the hat to you for following your dream, and to have someone to support you like that is wonderful. And it's going to be a super successful business, we're sure. And mm-hmm. as soon as it's open, let us know. We'll do a live show inside the store with you.
It sounds super fun.
I would absolutely love that. We got plenty of room in the house. We'll put all you guys up, and I'll make you some of my ribs.
Hey, that sounds great.
If you want to,
you don't eat ribs.
Yeah, I'll take some fish ribs.
Yeah. if you want to support our dreams, you can join people like Chris who support us on Patreon, Triviality Podcast.
There you go.
Yeah. Patreon.com/Triviality Podcast, where you can support us for, as Neil says, as little as $1 a day.
And we thank Chris for that.
Nice segue, by the way.
Thank you.
He was due. It's been a bit.
Well, thank you so much for your wonderful game that you wrote, that you put together. We know we've been playing phone tag to get this thing going, but we hope everyone enjoyed it. And if you're a fan of anything geek-related, comic books, movies, TV, and the like, we hope you enjoy that and learn something to take to your next pub trivia. So on behalf of Ken, Jeff, Matt, and our host, Chris, my name is Neil, and that was Triviality. Someone's like, let's go to TGI Fridays. We'll get your stomach filled up. And then I ate a ton of TGI Fridays. And we left right in front of the hotel, in front of everyone at the convention. Mm-hmm. I was just like, hey, guys, everything was everywhere.
So what I had to do with the TGI Fridays.
It was mozzarella sticks all over the sidewalk.
Could have been those four apps for $20. So
eat at TGI Fridays, our new sponsor.
Yeah.